Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, it's a question parents and teachers all around the country would love to be able to answer. How can we reduce phone use amongst young people, both in school and at home? And there have been various proposals, pilot projects, discussions. But the issue persists despite the great efforts, and it's something that has been the focus of my next guest's research. Pasi Salberg is a Finnish educator and professor of education at the University of Melbourne in Australia, where he's working on the Growing Up Digital Australia project, and he's here now. You're very welcome. Lovely to see you in this part of the world.
Thank you, Claire. Thanks for having me in your programme.
So you moved from Finland to Australia around the time of the pandemic, and you took part in this Growing Up Digital Australia project. So tell us about the genesis of that and where it led you to.
Yeah, the Growing Up Digital program is something that actually I started during my time at Harvard University about 8 years ago, before Australian time. And we started, that was a time when young people were just about to have their personal smartphones and iPads and gadgets. And so we started to ask questions like, what does it mean that their kids are spending 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours sometimes every day with these devices? And so that's how the research project started. We call it Growing Up Digital Global, actually, because it's an international program, mm-hmm. where we try to understand from parents, from teachers and principals and grandparents, how they see when they look at the young children or teenagers with their new devices, that what's happening, what they see. And I took that research project with me about 5 years ago to Australia, and we did a big study of the Australia-wide survey in order to understand how this looks like in Australia.
And you're here in Ireland then to speak to educators here about what you have learned. And the big question, I suppose, is whether this use of the smart device is impacting our children to the extent that they are impeded in their efforts to learn, that they're so distracted.
Yeah, that's a really big question. And one way to answer that question is that we still don't have evidence. This is a little bit, I often say that it's a little bit the same thing as with the cigarette smoking. Like if you go 50 years back, there were people who were smoking heavily and saying that there's no evidence that it has anything to do with my health. And that's true. We still can't show that if you smoke cigarettes that you're going to get a cancer or something like this. But we do know that if you smoke regularly cigarettes, the risk of getting into trouble with your health is about 85 to 90%. So this is what we are talking about with these gadgets with our young people, that we cannot show that those kids who spend a lot of time with their screens that they are gonna learn less in a school or get into mental health issues or others. But we can say this is how parents and educators and adults, we should think about this thing, that there's a high risk of getting in trouble in the school in terms of your own learning or behavior or mental health or many other things if you are a heavy user of social media and technology and other things.
What is a heavy user?
Yeah, there's no standard for that, but we often look at, you know, young people who spend 8 hours or more every day with their gadgets, which is actually interestingly about, I would guess that it's about the average here in Ireland. It is about 8 or 9 hours average, typically young people in Finland and Australia every day. So that is what we are dealing with now. And it's you know, this work in this research is a little bit like trying to convince people that, you know, it's not a good idea if your child is always on screens. And it's probably not also a good idea if our students in the schools are required to do too much stuff on screens and computers because they're spending more and more time on this. But if I can add one thing into your introduction, Claire, it's a very important to understand that this is not only young people's issue, that we should not, this conversation should not be how we can get young people out of the screens and into the play fields or the books or doing something else or sleep more. Our research shows that most of the adults are experiencing exactly the same problem. Mm-hmm. That they are, they feel that they are. They even use words addicted. They're addicted to their devices and emails and social media and other things. So, you know, this is one of those things that is a common, is everybody's issue in our societies.
Yeah. But are you advising that both the adults and the children in the house take a moment to think about how much they're using those devices? Because we find ourselves, I do this myself, get off your screen while I'm looking at my phone.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very hard to convince young people if you do something like this. Unfortunately, this is how many of us adults behave exactly. So I think it's really, you know, this is a question about behavior, and people only change their behaviors if there's a kind of evidence and data about what happens if I don't behave differently. And that's why research studies like this Growing Up Digital that we've been working on with our Canadian and American colleagues is so important, because that gives people, parents and educators and grandparents and young people, some type of kind of a data to say that, you know, if this is the situation where we are getting into, maybe we should do something differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a lot of discussion here in recent months about banning phones and voluntary bans at primary level. Are you in favour of those, given the research that you've done?
Well, if you ask me this question 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would say that I'm not a kind of a fan of banning, government bans of things, because young people don't particularly enjoy somebody coming outside and banning things from their lives. Because young people, they can change their lives if they understand why. But if this question is, when you ask this question now, I think, you know, based on what I've seen in schools and families through the research in Finland and Australia and different parts of the world, I would probably say exactly the same way as the UNESCO said about 6 months ago, that let's just ban them. Let's just take them away from kids, because it's so difficult to leave this to the principals and teachers in the schools to do. Mm-hmm. So in this situation where there's a good reason to believe that if we look at the OECD's PISA results, where, by the way, Ireland did quite well, but we all have been going downhill, partly because of the COVID pandemic, but the big reason for these declining results in students' learning and definitely students' well-being, their mental health, is related to these devices.
That's a definitive. Is that what you're saying? That is absolutely certain, that those declines are due to use of the devices?
This is a thing that we still debate. But again, you know, if you ask me, my response would be exactly the same as, you know, if you smoke a lot of cigarettes and you get a cancer, I would probably say that you get what you what you ordered. Mm-hmm. But my question also for anyone who is listening to this and say that, okay, show me the evidence that the smartphones that kids are using or gaming or screens is somehow pulling down the PISA results or the exam results here in schools. I would say that tell me then what it could be. So what could be behind these declining
results? So it's the only logical conclusion.
For me, it's probably the most logical reason, together with the, you know, all these things that came with the pandemic now.
Now, you're here to speak at the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals Conference here in Ireland. So I know that you've been looking at the Irish educational system in the context of what you've studied internationally. So how do we compare?
Well, this is not my first time in Ireland. I've been here a number of times. I was leading the big reviews of your initial teacher education provision many years ago here. And I'm a big fan of Irish education. And, you know, somebody like myself who doesn't live in Ireland, when I look at how you do on paper, on the international statistics, you are doing really well. You mentioned the Principals Conference. I think one big reason why Ireland is such a kind of a strong performer in the field of international education is the way you employ and position your principals as part of leading the entire system. I think your teacher education has been a world class for many years. Again, from outside, many people travel all the way from Australia and Finland to come here and see how your universities prepare your teachers. But I think overall, this is a relatively small system here in Ireland, a little bit like in Finland. That it's easy to run that system well. And so there are many elements that you do in education here in Ireland you do well. Mm-hmm. But we need to remember that we are doing well here in Ireland. Finland is also doing quite well, but we are doing well right now, or we were doing well yesterday. But now the big challenge, of course, is that is the system here or in other countries designed in a way that it will be able to change as the world changes and technology comes to play a big part, and children are very different, they need different things because of the health and mental health issues and many other things.
So are you saying that we're not planning for the future?
Now, if you ask me to point some issues where we need to probably pay more attention here in Ireland and many other countries, but including here, that would be that just to make sure that our schools and system, education system, is prepared to change, a very rapid change that will happen during the next 5 to 10 years, mm-hmm. and including the role of young people in schools. I think here in Ireland and most other countries, we need to think again, what is the purpose of schooling? Because it cannot be anymore preparing our young people for the exams and tests and next level of education. We have to find a new purpose for schooling so that we can also make sure that our kids are engaged in school and really find learning and education important. One interesting thing where Ireland stands in a kind of a negative sense among the OECD countries is that we have seen a relatively big decline here in this country during the last 20 years in how young people, the 15-year-olds here in your schools, feel that they belong to school, which is often linked to this engagement thing, how they are engaged in things, their own learning and things in school. So here in Ireland, during the last, since 2013 to 20 years, we have many more young people here who go to school every day, but they say that I don't feel that I belong here.
Why do you think that is? Do we know why?
No, we don't. You know, this is one of those things that we don't know exactly why this is, and it has to be somebody else from here to answer that question. But, you know, if you ask this, the same thing has happened in most countries, but here in Ireland that has been much bigger dip than in many other places. Mm-hmm. But internationally, we have seen the more and more disengaged kids in a school because schools have not really changed the way young people feel that they should
have
changed.
And their lives have changed
exactly.
So much in short period.
Yeah, like here we have young people going to school in Ireland and Finland every day who only realize that, you know, I really don't need to come here to learn all these things, that I can learn those things already somewhere else and faster and more interesting way. Mm. So
on their devices, which brings us back
absolutely.
Where we started.
But I think that we need to really think about what the future school looks like and what the teachers and schools and parents can do. And that's why I think this symposium that we have on Thursday here with the principals is so important, that we are having this conversation about the future as well. And I think that Ireland here is doing a really good thing in calling together different stakeholders and teachers and principals and authorities and others to have this conversation.
Yes, and come up with a plan, hopefully.
Yeah, rather than, you know, government saying that, you know, this is our next step, which is not going to work anymore like that.
Pasi, thank you so much and a great pleasure to meet you. And
thanks.
Thank you for coming in to us today. That's Pasi Sahlberg, who's a Finnish educator and professor of education. And good luck with your event this week in Ireland. Now, coming up after the break, we'll be talking about pets and getting some advice from our vet, Sarah Boland. Lots of questions coming in. Still time to text us on 51551.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.